I am all in.
With Scott Patterson, an iHeartRadio podcast.
All right, everybody. We've got a very special guest this week. Her name is Carla McCluskey. She was the assistant director and unit production manager on the Gilmore Girls. She was born in Madison, Wisconsin, and she was assistant director for 27 episodes, and she was unit production manager from 2005 to 2006. She gained an immense amount of experience working in Hollywood and film and television. She's the mother to Brighton and Caitlin, a writer, a stroke survivor. She released a book, Grandma Told Me So, Lessons in Life and Love, in 2007. She's also well known for her assistant directing in The Closer, Pretty Handsome, Ally McBeal, Babylon 5, If These Walls Could Talk, Color of Night, Jurassic Park, and much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Carla McCluskey. Carla, how you doing?
I also directed an episode, Scott, too, the I Solemnly Swear, and shortly thereafter had a stroke during hiatus, so I was sidelined for a while.
Oh, my goodness. You directed a Gilmore episode.
Yeah, it was mainly Alexis and it was Rory and Paris kind of episode, fencing.
Okay. Well, now that you mention it, it is coming back to me a little bit that you did direct an episode. How interesting. Wow. So tell us about what is it to be an assistant director? What kind of jobs did you have on set? What did you have to do?
Hard. It's probably the hardest job everyone admits that. Just you're responsible for everything. I mean, wardrobe's responsible for wardrobe, and sound is responsible for sound, and the assistant director is responsible for everything. And so you're trying to coordinate everything. You schedule the show. You decide what shot when. You have to have a time frame down so people know, like, you know, how long this is going to take, how long that's going to take. And, you know, it's very different on TV. A director doesn't have as much power as on a feature. On Gilmore Girls, it's Amy. We all know that. Mm-hmm. Amy does everything. But, you're just, you know, you're the one. You know, you mainly just hear you go rolling and cut, you know, but there's so much more. And, you know, you're usually like the first one there and the last one to leave. That's more in the second category. But as a first assistant, you just have, you know, more responsibilities. Mm-hmm.
So what did you think of each character's trajectory on the show? Who did you particularly notice change? In terms of
I started with you guys. I did the first show. So
right.
I saw, you know, the younger cast, Alexis and was Dean, you know, I mean, Jared. And I mean, the young people I just saw completely mature as not just actors, but as people, you know, so that was quite amazing. And I know in the whole Dean, Jess, Matt, what's his real name? Logan thing. Mm-hmm. There's always, you know, Dean isn't always the most popular, but I just rewatched an episode they asked me about. And, you know, he was just charming. I mean, it was so wonderful to start with everybody. When you start with a show, first of all, you guys are with me. You know, you bring someone new in, sometimes the actors, the cast is like, yeah, what's this? But I always knew that you knew me and I knew you. And if I said something, you know, we had a wonderful rapport and it was great to do that. So, I mean, you and of course, Lauren, I mean, so many are just such professionals right away. So, you know, I didn't, as actors, you know, didn't see a huge change because you're always good. And as people, you're mature adults. So there wasn't such a change then either. But I'm not sure if that's the question that you're asking or if the whole arc of the character or is that.
No, that's fine. That's great. So listen, we had pretty intense discussions in our last episode about all the relationships, especially Luke and Lorelai's. I mean, did you see the connection between those two characters right away? Did you notice it?
Yes, I definitely did. I mean, there's a chemistry there. You know, there's definitely chemistry and it was just, you know, rewatching, you know, because I haven't really watched the show. It's sort of embarrassing because I do all the fan festivals and the fans can recite every script by heart. You know, it's like amazing. And they're asking me a question about something. And I'm like, you know, this is 20 years ago or whatever. And it's sort of like, and I don't rewatch them really. And rewatching, I'm going to rewatch them. I mean, I watched one last night and I'm like, this is so good. I mean, everything about it was so good. And I just loved it. And I can see why people love it so much. And I mean, I always loved the show. I came in and they show, you know, and asked, and I said, well, could I see the show? And they had the pilot episode. And I'm like, oh, this is good. And every single time, no matter when I got the script, I'm going to be walking on the set or something. It was great. The scripts were always, and that does not happen a lot. When you're proud of something that you're doing, I'll work those 18 hours or 20 hours or whatever, because it's wonderful. I mean, it's just, it's so good. And it's certainly, I can see why it's the huge hit that it is now and should have been from the beginning.
It spoiled me. That show spoiled me because I went on to do other shows and it just, you know, they were good and great writing staffs and all that, but it was just, it was different. You know, it was different.
I'll be honest about it. I've done a lot of shows and everything, and this one was top notch. Yeah. And some other ones were good, but you know, right. It just not even nearly close.
Anyway, thank God it was such a positive experience. So let me ask you this. Do you think that Luke should have spoken up earlier to Lorelai professing his love to her, in your opinion?
No, I don't. And did Luke know it from the beginning? I don't know. No, I think that whole storyline, I think it was wonderful. I mean, I the whole series would have been condensed much more quickly, I think. I think it was important to go through all the mm-hmm. different things and have her have other relationships and have this friendship. After all, what does a good relationship, what is it based on? It's based on a friendship. You know, I'm best friends with my husband of 45 years. You know, it's just like, and we're still madly in love. So I think that's a real good start and that's a basis. And I don't, you know, I don't think it would have been, I liked how it was done.
Right.
Very much.
Right. What did you think of Max Medina?
Now you're going to be testing me on some of this. I liked the actor.
Oh no, without question. Great guy.
No, Max was fine. I'm not remembering every storyline. Right. Literally. But, you know, it was, I can't think of someone I went, well, why'd they go there? Right. You know, that just wasn't Amy for one thing. Right. You know, it played the way it was supposed to play.
How about Rory and Dean? What'd you think of that whole arc?
I loved Rory and Dean. Yeah. I loved Rory and Jess. I loved Rory and Max. I just loved y'all. That was great. It was just so sweet. I mean, those were the sweet years. It was so nice. Right. And they've all gone on to such success. I mean, it's just fabulous to see, you know.
Mm-hmm. Great really launching great. Pad for those guys, you know, and girls. Mm-hmm. What about Emily and Lorelai? What about that dynamic? What do you remember about that?
That's fabulous. Yeah. I mean, I mean, they're just so great and such lovely people. And the episode that I did watch that they mentioned to me, the people that are doing this, you know, is a lot about their relationship and to see that it was Rory's dance. I don't know if we're supposed to, but anyway, that's what I was asked to watch. So I did watch that and to see, you know, this, they're held this conflict, but then to actually see in that particular episode, the love that when Lorelai's sleeping and then Emily like, you know, puts her hair mm-hmm. back, you just see that she's seeing her as this little girl right. that she just
loved. Yeah, she even says, thank you, mommy, because she was half asleep.
No, it's really, and of course, I mean, in any family, in most families, I know in my family, there was a lot of discord and very different. They were very different. And so, you know, you get it.
It is rather amazing that Emily thinks that she can walk into Lorelai's house and give her what for and give her that level of disrespect. I mean, it just is amazing. And I was so glad that she kicked her out of her house. Like, get out of my house. You don't think this is a life. It's not good enough for you. Leave.
Yeah.
Really proud of her.
That's so true. That's not an exaggeration. No. There are mothers. And hopefully my girls will say I am not like that at all. I know they would. But there are mothers like that. I mean, I think they're like evil. Like some of the stories I hear, I'm like, oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like when one person said they brought their, were estranged and they brought their young daughter to finally meet this wicked mother. And the mother says, oh, she's so pretty. She must take after her father. I mean, it's just like this classic, even worse than Emily scenarios.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What a complicated character and what a complicated relationship that is. My God. It's like they just hate each other. They just absolutely hate each other, but they need each other.
They don't. Underneath it, they really don't.
No, they don't.
And they still have that. You know, there is this love connection, even with the hatred or the complete just on both sides, you know?
Let me ask you this. How important did you think the characters like Suki, Michelle Lane, Miss Patty Kirk are to the show?
God. Yeah. Fabulous. I think they were just so important, each one. I've written two books, and my first book has a lot about memories. I come from Stars Hollow, basically. That's where I grew up, Lodi, Wisconsin. He said Madison, but it's a little town outside of Madison. And I had the craziest characters, and, you know, writing about all of the Trudy at the bakery. I mean, that's so important. Each one of those characters was so well-defined and unique and wonderful. You just love them. They're so great. And to be... oh my gosh, I'm blanking on his name. Who played a bunch of different characters. He's he was the crazy guy, like the cable guy. And he was,
Sean Gunn.
Yes, Sean Gunn. I mean, he played a variety of those characters, but I mean, they're just such amazing. You know, I think they're so wonderfully, I mean, that's the whole secret to having a great show is you have all these characters that are so complete and unique, and you know, it's not like, now, so who are they? I mean,
you know what, what really hit me last night watching the episode was what a scene stealer that Melissa McCarthy is. When she comes on screen, it's like, wonderful. You can't watch anybody else.
It's just hysterical.
I mean, what a star quality she has. And it was apparent right away. And the comedy bits she's doing are not easily done when she sprays herself in the eyes and her. I mean, delivering the dialogue that way and doing the physicality of it and then coming back out and having a conversation with those two.
You're never going like, oh, come on.
Right, right.
She's looking the wrong way for Emily and the wrong way for Lorelai. Right. You know, it's just like, oh my God. Oh. And she's so, so hysterical.
Just every time she's on screen,
love her.
Yeah, you know, she runs away with the scene. She's the most talented person. Good God. So you were assistant director from the beginning in the early years, obviously. Did you have any idea when you started out how important the show would become to so many people around the world?
I totally believe in the show. I thought it'd be a huge hit right away. So I'm not at all surprised. Yeah. Not at all.
Yeah. I felt the same way when I read the pilot. I thought, I'll never get this. This is going to be a big show. Or at least for that network, it's going to be big. But I predicted 5 years. I was wrong by two.
Well, I think it would have kept going, you know?
I did. Yeah. Yeah, we can talk about that. But
No. I think we better talk. Yeah. It was interesting too, because I was there, like lived there. It was my life. And then after I had the stroke, I mean, I directed then. I was envisioning that I would keep directing, and I had the stroke. And so I was, but they were such a wonderful show for me. Amy just was amazing, and everybody. And so they, even when I couldn't work, I mean, it was a big one. They had me because a lot of people would come on and to break down these shows. They're very complicated, and they would ask me to do it while I was home. And then when I actually could work, then they brought me back as the production manager, which is a very difficult job and lots of stuff, but you don't have to be on the set all the time, which was difficult for me at that time. Mm-hmm. And so they really let me, I mean, it was, they supported me throughout, which I will always, always be grateful for.
Yeah.
And then my mother became ill. And so then I ultimately had to leave, and I got this great job as an executive at Sony. So I went for that and went to Madrid. But other than that, I love the show. And I sent Caitlin down there so she could report back. And George.
What are the really juicy behind the scenes stuff that you can tell us, talk about? If you would be so bold.
I don't do that. Mm-hmm. I really don't. You have a specific thing, and it would only be positive. I mean, the last night's episode, I remember sometime, I mean, we just laughed so much. We were so sleep deprived. And there was, and I don't remember, I think it might have been that episode, because I just remember because Lorelai Lauren was on the floor. So when that dress came down and hit her and caused the back problem, I thought, oh, maybe that was it, because we were in the living room. And I just remember, we just were all just cracking up, you know, like as an actor, when you can't get the, you're like, oh my God, it broke. I'm just like, sorry, I can't. But we weren't filming and we couldn't even like roll the camera. We couldn't do anything. Lauren couldn't do anything. And it was probably like 4 o'clock in the morning or something, but just the laughter and the camaraderie. And we would go out after Friday, on Friday nights, you know, we'd either be in the camera truck or else we'd go out with Amy and Dan, and especially in the beginning, and just have a blast. And our rap parties, and one rap party, I think I got a little tipsy. Mm-hmm. And I was sort of embarrassed. Like, I thought, oh my God. And I went the next day and I apologized to Amy. I said, I'm so sorry. She says, oh my God, I love you all the more for that. And then when I was directing.
Dorothy Parker Productions drank here. Dorothy Parker drank here productions. Yeah, there you go.
And when I was directing, I was so exhausted because you really had to be like, how am I shooting this? Blah, 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 blah. And I live in Malibu, so that's like another 2 hour drive or hour drive or whatever. So I actually stayed in somebody's dressing room. I don't know. It was a nice one. Mm-hmm. And so one of the nights a guard came and said, well, I just saw this light. What's going on? I said, I'm just here. Don't worry. And Amy came to me and says, honey, you can't sleep in the dressing rooms.
Why?
So I didn't do that anymore.
Why? Liability issue for the studio?
Yeah, liability. Yeah, like if there was an earthquake or something, nobody knows you're there. I said, well, I'll tell them I'm here. You know, just get me if there's a problem.
Yeah, they get you a car. They'll get you home, right?
Everybody, speaking of sleeping, I couldn't do it, but lunch hour, everybody had a spot and they all took him and were sound asleep. Mm-hmm. I remember Lance and everybody was like, oh, they're snoring away here, you know, because you're just utterly exhausted.
God, that show is a grind. What a grind. Wow. Did you like the days that we would shoot the town hall meetings because it was just the one location? Were those easier days on you?
Nothing was easy on me, and all the actors are there. I mean, they're hysterical. I mean, you get, oh my God, Babette and Mrs. Patty. Mm-hmm. I know. I'm mm-hmm. blanking on the name. Come on, Amy, tell me, who am I talking
Sally
about?
Sally was Babette.
Sally and
Miss Patty, Liz Torres.
Yeah, Sally and Liz together. Oh, I mean, the set just, mm-hmm. I'm losing control here. I mean, they're all and it was also often really hot in there because it gets hot in the valley and we had to be tented in because it's a night scene. And so we're all like dripping wet.
Right.
And it was a lot of work. Any of those. I personally preferred, you know, two people in a room. That was my favorite. But when you have all of that going on, it's a huge deal for an AD or for lots of the production staff. Right. It's a big, big, big thing when you have so many actors and extras and coordinating everything. You know, it was work.
So when you were directing, what were the most difficult scenes for you to direct?
You know, it really came naturally because, you know, I've been doing the show for so long. I'm like, hey, and I knew the style and I knew, you know, so it wasn't really difficult. Mm-hmm. I felt bad because when my last day, I remember, help me again. Paris is the wonderful actress.
Liza Wheel.
Liza. Okay. So Liza, it was a big fencing scene with everybody stunts and fencing and all this other stuff. And Liza gets the script the day before and she, the next day's work, which I didn't schedule, the next AD scheduled, had her with these like 10 page monologues, or I mean, something, I mean, not 10 pages, but a huge monologue. So she's like, oh my God, I have to memorize all this. And I'm in the middle of fencing. And, you know, so I felt bad for them, but, I loved it. It worked out fine. There was one time I remember, and I don't know which part, but it was like 4 o'clock in the morning. And I think I turned to Michael, the DP, and I'm like, you got to help me here. I don't know if I can even remember my name right now.
Michael Price.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But I did. It was fun there because I really modeled, like, there. I don't know if you've seen that episode, but you should bring me back when that episode on, because I did all the President's Men when the deep throat scene, mm-hmm. when there's a scene that's, I shot it scene shot for shot as the scene in the parking lot. With the, anyway, not important. But
love it, Carla. We want to have you on all the time. Your stories are awesome. Yeah.
Great stories. Keep them coming. Keep them coming.
Huh? Still want to know if Carla is team Logan, Jess, or Dean.
Carla is team all. I love them all. I mean, how can you not love them all? I mean, Milo, Jared. I mean, they're all, you know, I probably worked the most with them, but I did do stuff with Matt. Such a great guy. I mean, they were all just the sweetest people, besides being, you know, the sweetest characters or best characters, or, you know, it's just. And I also worked on, we were going to do a spinoff sort of with Milo, and so I did that too, with skateboarding and a lot of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're just all the best.
With Rob Estes. Yeah, they shot the pilot down there in Venice Beach.
Yeah.
So we had George Bell on recently, and, you know, it leads to the question, how did your daughter get into actually becoming, or even a part-time dialogue coach?
Well, I brought you both of your dialogue coaches, because, as you know, everybody's getting fired. I mean, we went through more crew than you can imagine. The art department's gone. Okay. You know, everybody was fired. And so we needed one. And I worked, my husband knew George, like, when they were like 17, you know, they, my husband went to Juilliard for acting, but before he went to Juilliard, he went to Northridge, where he met George. And George is our lifelong, like, best friend. And I got him, he worked with me on Hook, and he was a great, I said, I need somebody for these Lost Boys, George. And so I really started him on his dialogue coaching journey, which actually was really on Gilmore Girls. But George, everybody loves George. It's everybody in my whole life. Everybody loves George. I mean, he's in my book, actually. And I started talking about relationships with friends, and I'm like, George Bell, you know, and I wrote about him. But, so I'm thinking, like, okay, everybody was at Wood Sands. Who can we bring in? And I'm like, I gotta have the perfect man. I have the perfect person, you know, to have. And so we got George, and everybody loved him, you know, and he was the best, and it was great. And then George was just overwhelmed, especially he was going to quit like the first night. He goes, oh my God, because I wasn't there on the set, and it was just horrible, but it all worked out. But so then later on, in I don't know what season, but one of the later seasons, he says, I just can't do this. This is all the time, you know, I have to have a break. And so he wanted someone to fill in, and came to me, and I was a production manager at the time. And I was just talking at home and everything. And I said, I have to think of somebody. And Caitlin said, I can do that. She was actually going to USC. She graduated from USC. And she says, I could do that. And I'm like, honey, they're going to eat you up and spit you out. Because no one likes to be said, you missed the in the last, you know, whatever, you know, the minutia that you have to be on top of. And it's not an easy show for a new person to come on. They'll be eaten up by everybody, including Amy. And I said, honey, I don't think so. She's no, I know I can do it. And I'm like, okay. And she did. She did a great job. The cast all loved her. Everybody loved her. It was fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she did great. And we, God, I mean, we really needed her, and we really needed George. And, you know, he made the days shorter. He made the work better. And he took off a lot of stress on that set, because before he came along, you remember what it was like. It was, boy, oof. A lot of people going up on their lines. You know, everybody was pretty much going up on their lines, like, more often.
Possible job for a script supervisor, which is all we had. Mm-hmm. And it was Cheryl Starbuck, I think, was the first
right
one.
Yes,
an awful lot of script supervisors. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Every time, like, I'd have to fire a lot of the people, when I became production manager, and I said, you know, I don't want you to take this personally. It's nothing to do with you. You know, it's just, this is just, you know, a thing. But anyway, but to keep track of, I mean, a script supervisor's job is continuity, to make sure, like, if the person was drinking a glass in the first cut and where, you know, just to make sure everything matches and to correct the dialogue. But it's a complicated job. You know, it's right up there with AD, but not quite. But anyway, as far as difficulty, but in numbers of hours put in, but it's just too much because you really have to just be focused on the script or working with the actors, and you're trying to do your notes in between shots. So you really can't go to the actor's dressing room. I mean, it's very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. So the idea of bringing in someone just for that was essential. Mm-hmm. And I think that made a huge difference. Right. And the right person made the huge difference. And there you go.
Yeah, it was...
I kept going through script supervisors, as you noticed. Yes.
It seemed like there was a new one every episode.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
It really did seem that way. You're right. There was always.
So we had an editor that wanted what she wanted. And I mean, you had to adapt to a lot of people.
Right. Whew. Man, they ran a tight ship over there. Wow. Wow. That's what made it so great, though. You know, that's what made it great. But I think it was really. Did you. Personally, do you think it was a budgeting issue? Like, if there was a larger budget for the show, a lot of these problems wouldn't rear their ugly heads.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think it was a budgeting problem? It was just the demands placed on the crew and the cast because of the density of the dialogue.
Long hours or what?
Yeah.
Or what? I mean, our budget, you know, shooting long hours. I've told people for years this, you know, you don't gain anything. You're into triple gold time or something. It's not cost saving to shoot such long hours. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're going, your overtime budget is, you know, you'll be lucky to, you know, be at all in the black, every episode being the red. I mean, that isn't a good way to shoot, let alone for safety, for everybody's, you're brain dead. I mean, how you remember your lines at 4 a.m. after work is crazy. So that's not a wise thing. But I don't remember really budget constraints. Amy pretty much had a free rein. What Amy wanted, Amy got, pretty much.
Right.
And so I don't remember like, oh my goodness, we can't have a crane here. If she wanted a crane, we got a crane.
We did have the stuff, didn't we? It's just the density, the length of the scripts, the 80-page scripts, where normal hour is, what, 60, 55? The scripts were 80 pages, and it was nothing but dialogue. I mean, it was you know, 20 to 25% bigger longer in pages, but maybe 50% to 70% in just sheer amount of words.
Right, but you have to realize you're also going, you know, speaking so quickly, and a lot of shows are like, I mean, I think with all the good directors I've worked with, their most common direction, even the biggest directors, is, what do you think?
On our show?
No, on any show, and especially even on big shows. Most common direction from, and some directors who are very, very famous, it was really their only direction.
Probably faster, funnier.
Faster, just faster.
Yeah, it's all, yeah.
Faster.
Yeah, TV doesn't allow much time to indulge in anything.
Yeah. Well, no, just to speak them faster. Right. You know, like if you see a show that's directed by an actor, actors indulge themselves much more because he's an actor. But most directors want an actor to speed it up and not be like, and then I fell. They want to go, and then I fell, but you know, they don't want that.
Yeah. Pity the poor directors that would come up and give you line readings. You know, it's like, wow. But it happens. Sometimes it has to happen, but it's kind of...
Oh, a line reading?
Yeah.
Oh, no, not good.
Yeah, not good. All right, you ready for rapid fire?
One thing about the rapid fire, you have to realize that everybody who worked on the show, as crew or whatever, not just the cast, but... I speak very quickly, as you probably noticed, Amy loves that. If I would bring someone on for a job, it's just, oh my God, they just talk so slowly. And you'd only get Amy sometimes like, okay, Amy, so what do you think? Blah, blah, blah. I'd have to go that quickly to get whatever I was going to grab while she's walking to the bathroom or something, you know? Okay. And so you have to speak very quickly, which I just normally do. I had two older sisters, so to get anything in at dinner, I'd be like, blah, blah, blah. But so hopefully I'll have answers as quickly.
You're going to do fine. Okay, ready?
Are these the same questions for everybody?
I can't reveal that.
Well, I've never seen your show, so I have no idea.
It's not well, gonna do anything. Here we go. Fasten your seatbelt. Here we go. How do you take your coffee?
I don't drink coffee. Sorry.
Can you smell snow?
Oh, yeah. I come from Wisconsin.
There you go. Are you team Logan, Jess, or Dean?
We answered that already. It's team all of them.
Team all of them. Who's the daddy?
I don't care. It's Luke.
Wow.
No, probably Matt. I don't know.
That'll be like the Channel J version that they run at 1 a.m. Okay. Best memory of Gilmore Girls?
Oh, my God. Just our laughing, you know? It was the best. And the scripts, opening the script for the first time and reading it and going, whoa, great. And how the heck am I going to shoot this?
Show you're binge watching right now.
I don't watch TV. I'm a documentary girl.
Sorry. Cast member you texted most recently.
I haven't. George and I keep in touch all the time. Well, he was a cast member. He played parts, but I really haven't. I don't think we've seen each other for like 16 years or something. I don't know. I mean, I haven't really kept in contact. Well, I renewed contact with the winter, spring, summer, fall, you know, with Lauren and with Alexis. But
wait, I was up in Canada. I was up in Toronto a couple of years ago at that fan fest.
Yes. Oh yeah. Fan festivals.
But it was such a whirlwind. I didn't really get to see anybody.
Yeah. And the fan festivals, it's very close. It's wonderful. Right. All the wonderful cast members, and I'm blanking who I hang out. Well, I hang out with George the most, but, right.
I brought George on stage with me.
At the fan festivals, yeah. Amy, from Liz to, you know, Emily, all of them, you know, everybody that's there. I obviously share wonderful things with, but I don't text them. I'm not a great texter. I'm learning because that's all the younger generation does. And I've got lots of younger generations.
Carla, absolute pleasure to talk to you. And we'll talk to you again. This was fun. It was really fun.
I had a great time. I love talking about the Gilmore Girls, yeah. And it really is. That's why I love the fan festivals. I'm like, yeah, I'm there. I'll go, whatever. It's fine with me.
And I just, you know, I'm watching the shows for the first time, and they're so good. They're so good. It's blowing my mind.
When you ask next time, what is the show that I've been watching? I'll say Gilmore Girls. Yeah. And I can't tell you how many people that I've run into in Malibu even. Right. And they'll go, you know what I did during COVID? I'm like, no, what? And they go, I binge watched Gilmore.
they want to feel good.
I have fans that tell me they watch at least one episode a day to this day, every day.
Yes.
I'm like, whoa, okay. But my husband was so funny because he's a wonderful actor. He's an amazing artist. But he would always joke with me because, so what's the line? This week, does Lorelai get a new refrigerator? You know, you have to realize that, you know, they weren't like heavy duty, although they were. Right. But, you know, it was kind of funny that, you know, there'd be something that was because it was life. You know, I worked with Tom Hanks on The Burbs, and I think it was one of the first films I was the first on. And he just always did something in a gesture or whatever that was so true to life. You know, it was like, That's what makes it, you know, it just really is. It's just getting that everyone can relate to quality, like, yeah. And that's Gilmore Girls too. Yeah. And that really is. And all the wonderful actors and acting.
Very special little world that was. God, I wonder if they're going to do more. I wonder if Netflix is. Really
tough. Oh, by the way, the other thing that I said that my younger daughter, who's now like, poof, she just shot Batman. She's like all over. But she was just this avid reader. She went to Vassar and she read all the time. So Dan and I would, you know, Rory reading all the books. And he goes, so what writing reading now? And I would, you know, and we'd have all this stuff that, you know, we could plug in because she was Rory. That's who she was, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amazing.
You're going to do more? I have no idea. I'm sure everyone would love it, but. You know, maybe, you know, just a an hour, 2 hour movie. I don't know. Maybe it's just so hard to get everybody together.
Yeah, you know what? We should do another season. Okay. Why not?
Sure.
The Netflix thing was fun.
I won't be. I'm too old. I just celebrated my 70th birthday.
Get out of here. No way. Yeah. Are you serious? Wow. My God. Well, listen, thank you so much for your time. I know you're out there in Malibu. You probably want to hit the surf.
Yeah, that's where I'm going next. You got. Yeah. You know what I'm actually doing next? You will not believe it.
Tell me.
I have to go down and say goodbye to my wonderful UPS man as a surprise because he's retiring.
Oh, that's nice.
He was the best. So that's where I'm going.
Wow. Malibu, a little bit like Stars Hollow with a beach.
And I'm taking my 2.5-year-old granddaughter, Leighton Phoenix, who was born after the horrific, another story, Woolsey fires that destroyed my neighborhood. My husband and I stayed and fought the fire and saved our home. And but every during COVID, I'm taking her out, walking her around the neighborhood. Nobody's here, but the UPS man would come by and like, hey, that's where I'm going to go. That's why I said I had an appointment. They're really important things these times.
They are. They are.
Carla, you definitely get best chair award. I love that fabric. Not,
you should see the room I'm in. Oh, sometime. Amazing. If you check out Lee McCloskey, L-E-I-G-H McCloskey.com, or his page, Lee J. McCloskey, I'm sitting in a room that you will friggin' not believe.
It looks amazing.
The most amazing, mind-blowing thing. And we have events before COVID and after, well, not after Gilmore Girls, because I did other shows. But when I retired, we started having events at our home. I would have 4 or 5 events in my home open to the public every week. People thought I was nuts. Mm. But people, because...
Is Lee your husband?
Yeah. He's gorgeous. I know.
I was like, oh my God, what in the world?
He was on Dallas.
He's like a movie star?
Yes. What?
I'm like, no,
he's
what
an amazing actor and has a huge resume and blah, blah, blah.
The picture that comes up is.
That's him. He's gorgeous. And he always has.
Oh my God. Everyone listening needs to.
I met him my first day in the business, my very first day as an assistant director trainee. And he was the star of the show.
And how long have you been married?
45 years, I think. I mean, we've been together.
Amazing.
We married.
Wow. Everybody listening needs to do this.
And we're
not Google right now.
Part. And we have an amazing family. That's even the better part. An amazing home, an amazing garden. I'm blessed. Every day I'm like, thank you. Thank you.
Oh my God. What? In the world. This guy is a legit babe. Wow.
No, he is. But you can see his talent. I mean, he's brilliant. Absolutely.
Yeah, this is super cool. The colors are incredible.
Amazing. So.
Oh, Carla, we can't wait to have you back. Thank you so much.
That's good.
Thank you, Carla. Good catching up.
Good to see you.
Thanks for your time.
Okay. Bye-bye.
And don't forget, follow us on Instagram at I Am All In Podcast and email us at gilmore@iheartradio.com. Oh, you Gilmore fans, if you're looking for the best cup of coffee in the world, go to my website for my company, scottyp.com, scottyp.com, scottyp.com. Grade 1 specialty coffee.